The great push in our day is to persuade all of us to back off of claims about the truth of being or the truth of morality, to restrict our minds to practical affairs, such as how best to build a bridge or how best to construct an energy-efficient car. To support this push towards the weakening of all claims, you often hear this story about the blind men who investigated an elephant. You know the story. One of them grasped the elephant's leg and said, "My friends, the elephant is like a big tree with a massive trunk." But another one of the blind men grasped the elephant's ear and said, "No, no, you're quite mistaken. The elephant is like a huge sheet of thick paper." A third blind man grasped the elephant's tail and said, "You're both wrong. An elephant is actually very much like a thin snake waving around." And a fourth blind man grasps the elephant's trunk and says, "Oh, my friends, I fear to inform you the elephant is in fact like an enormous boa constrictor snake, and we are all in danger." The moral drawn from the story is that the elephant is like the universe. We are like the blind men, and each of us only has a partial grasp on the nature of the universe, and so we should each of us not be so insistent to push our claims. We should say instead that this person has his truth, I have my truth, the other third guy has his truth, and so on. Each of us has our truth, our little bit. And then we can stop fighting about how to reconcile these claims. Well, this analogy fails for a couple of reasons. First off, the conclusion is simply the opposite of what it should be. We delude ourselves because in the analogy, there are these blind men feeling an elephant, and we, the listeners, know what an elephant looks like. And presumably there are people in this fictional universe we're creating who aren't blind, who know what an elephant looks like. But if the analogy is really going to be applied, then we have to say, strictly, there is nobody who knows what the elephant looks like. Right? That's the point of the analogy. The point of the analogy is that we are all the blind men. And so there is no listener. There is nobody with sight. In fact, each individual blind man's description of the elephant is the only information available anywhere about an elephant. And when you look at it that way, every bit of information is precious. If each of those blind men backs off of his claim about the elephant and says, "Oh, okay, well, I just want to insist on my viewpoint," then what's going to happen is all hope of ever discovering really what an elephant is lost. All hope of making any progress in elephant knowledge is gone. The only hope for grasping what is an elephant really is if each one will stick to his claim and actually force the others through the difficult task of asking how do we put this all together. To say that each one should back off of his claim is simply to give up, is to say, let's let all truth be gone. And I think that's not apparent. We fool ourselves simply because, by the simple trick of knowing what an elephant is ourselves as we listen to the story. The second reason the argument has a problem is just that the story told is a stupid one. That is, in real life, if you got a group of blind people together and put them in a room with an elephant, and one of them grasped the trunk and the other one, you know, grasped the leg and the other one grasped the ear and the other one grasped the tail, as soon as one of them said, "It's like a tree," and the other one said, "No, it's like a snake," what would they do? They would say, "Oh yeah, come over here and feel the part I'm feeling." Right? The guy holding the leg would say to the guy holding the tail, look, I don't know what you're feeling, but come over here and grab what I'm grabbing. Follow my voice, come over here and grab this, and vice versa. And soon they would work it out. Oh, I see. When I stand where you were standing, this is what I grab. And that's what we can do in real life, right? If I have a point of view that is true but partial, and you have a point of view that is true but partial, then I can bring you over to sort of mentally stand where I'm standing. I can invite you to share my experiences. I can explain to you how I got here and so on until you can see, okay, yes, we are actually talking about the same part of the universe and the same aspect of the same part of the universe. And then we might say that at that point, and we just disagree, right? And that in that case, we're like two blind men who approach an elephant. Each of them grabs the leg. One of them says, wow, an elephant is like a big tree trunk. And the other one says, what do you mean? An elephant is like an egg beater. And in that case, one of them's just wrong. And that's what actually unfolds in life. When you can have a real serious conversation with people, you're not actually stuck at different parts of the elephant. That's not true. So, what I would draw from the story of the elephant is this. It is to some degree the case that we have partial and partially overlapping views of reality, each of us seeing some part of the spectrum that the next person next to us isn't seeing right now. There is hope. There is hope for moving forward. There is hope for having truth. But there's only hope if each of us will say, by golly, the truth that I know is true. Now, I may need to give you some room and say, I'm not sure about what you're saying. Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Let me make sure I am grabbing the same part of the elephant. I'm not sure if I'm just missing some part of the bandwidth that you were talking about. But I know, we have to say, I know that the thing that I saw is true is true. Don't let anyone convince you to back off of a truth that you have actually seen.